in conversation, your conduct, your behavior, specifically your representative behavior, because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ as ambassadors for Christ, we are to live and behave in such a way that is appropriate as a believer. And so we're to be an example, and the godly person is to be a good example in those areas. You remember that we emphasized the truth that your actions, or reminded you of it, that your actions do what? They speak louder than words, your words. And I gave you that little catchy phrase, you walk talks and you talk talks, but you walk talks louder than you talk talks. Did y'all ever master that? Just understand that your walk, your behavior, talks, it communicates. And your talk communicates, it talks. But your walk talks, communicates more than your talk communicates. That's what it's just saying. So your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Say it with me. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You do that several times and you got it. And it's a great truth to remind us that being an example is more involved and carries more weight than just saying. A parent should never just say, do as I say, not as I do. That is not going to go anywhere with a young person. We must be consistent with our life, that we are living out what the principles that we see and believe that are genuinely true. Now, none of us are perfect. All of us fail from time to time. That's a given. There are no examples in Scripture of anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ that was not a sinner, that failed, and some of them miserably, and yet still may have come out with a testimony as a man after God's own heart. And so it's important for us to recognize that we are to be the godly example that God wants us to be, and we are to let our actions speak even louder than our words, but certainly never in a hypocrisy of letting our actions contradict our words of what we say is important. As Christians, it is true of us, and as moms, it is true of you. Now, the title of the message today, A Mother's Example. Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, as we look into this particular subject of being an example, both as moms, even as dads, as Christians, that we would appreciate the opportunities that you have given us to properly represent the truth of your word and the person of Jesus Christ, especially to our own children that grow up in our homes. Help us, Father, to be the example that we should be today. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I first want to give some encouragement to our moms. Mom, the devil is after the soul of your children. The devil is after them, and we're living in a time of unbridled sin. He wants he would love to be able to use our depraved society to influence your children. There's so many things that our children have opportunity to be exposed to today. I say opportunity. That almost sounds like a good thing. But there are many things that they're exposed to that are not good opportunities. They're bad influences, and we need to recognize that they're there, and the devil is using those. Even the educational system has gone awry in our society today and teaching all kinds of things that is opposed to the philosophy of God and God's Word. Just recently, for those delegates that just voted yesterday for our governor, for the Republican candidates that will be running for governor and for lieutenant governor and attorney general, in their stance of where they stand on different things, there was one category that was entitled CRT. CRT stands for Critical Race Theory. And critical race theory is something that is being pushed upon our educational systems to teach this, if not already being taught in some areas. And this particular area is just one of many that are out there in our school systems that exposes our young people to anti-God philosophy, anti-God positioning and thinking that we need to be aware of. And parents, you need to be aware of these things, because how can you guard and help shape the thinking of your children correctly of what God says if you don't know, first of all, what God says, and then secondly, what's being taught them differently than God? And so it's important to take matters of that into our information and be concerned about them and wonder how can we respond. So my question is, mothers, what can you do? There's some general things that I can give you here that I think will help. Number one, we're to be an example. You're to be an example, Mom, in your word. And what you say, what you don't say, as we said last week. Mothers, first of all, tell your children about Jesus Christ. You would think that would be obvious. But moms, dads, alike, do not rely upon Sunday school or youth ministry to do that kind of teaching. We're going to do it. We're going to seek to do it. But you have your children a lot more than a couple of hours a week that we have. And so it's important for you to take that measure of sharing the truth about Jesus Christ. The statistics tell us that most people that get saved when they are a child. And so it's important to make sure that you're speaking to your children about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done for us, so that they may come to that point where the Lord draws their heart to want to be a child of God, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Share Jesus Christ with their hearts while they're tender. It's important. Secondly, when it comes to your word, what you say, mothers, teach your children the Bible. Notice that I said, moms, you teach your children the Bible. Now, I'm going to say this, dads, listen to me very carefully. Dads, it's your responsibility too. And then beyond the two part, dads, it's your accountability and oversight by yourself. God holds you accountable. God holds you responsible for the oversight of what's being taught to your children at home. And so don't just assume that, you know, mom's going to take care of all of that. I don't have to do any of that. I mean, besides, I'm working 9 hours a week. No, it doesn't matter what the responsibility is there. Your responsibility to your children first is paramount over every other thing. And so please understand that, Mom, you have a responsibility to teach your children. Look with me a few pages to the right to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy 3, the Apostle Paul is still writing to young Timothy, and he tells him in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What things had Timothy been taught that Paul was saying that you know whom you learned it from? Was he talking about himself? Well, certainly there were some things that the Apostle Paul had taught. But look at the next verse. It says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It was from a child that his mother and that his grandmother had instilled into him who Jesus was and what he had done and the faith that he needed to place in the Lord Jesus Christ for that salvation. That's who he was to continue and to remember who had taught him the truth. Mom, we're to teach your children the Word of God. It was a round-the-day program at a church, and a little girl had a responsibility of reciting Scripture. And her mom had worked with her and drilled that Scripture in, and she was ready. until she stood up in front of the several hundred people that were out there at the church that day. And she froze up. And she could not remember anything that she was supposed to say. Well, her mom was sitting on the front pew there, front row, and so she began to mouth to her daughter, you know, what she was supposed to say. Now, she must have been kind of like me. If you're trying to sit out there and tell me something by mouthing, I do not read lips. I have never read lips, and I'll never know what you're trying to say. And this little girl didn't know what her mom was trying to say. And so finally, in frustration, her mom began to whisper out the words, "I am the light of the world." And her face kind of shined up a little bit, smiling came on her face, and very confident, she stood there and said, "My mother is the light of the world." And the audience responded kind of like you did there, until they stopped and thought of his home. You know, that's not far from the truth. A mom, a mother, is the light of their child's world. There's a great amount of influence that you have upon your children as mothers. So I say, mother, tell them about Jesus Christ. Teach them the Word of God. Share with them that truth. You have a great opportunity to impact your children with the truth of God's Word. Be an example in word. Secondly, be an example in your words. As I said earlier, there you walk talks and you talk talks, but you walk talks louder than you talk talks. And so your actions do speak louder than words, and therefore it should be important with the works that you do or the actions that you have that it indicates the truth of what you say you believe. So our actions are important there. I'm not minimizing your words at all, but I am maximizing the importance of your words and your actions. Children learn by example. There was one young girl that had a mom that was sick, and so she wanted to help her mom, so she brought her an extra pillow there for the bed and a book to read, and she made her mom some tea. And she gave it to her, and when she took a sip, she said, her mom said, "I didn't know that you knew how to make tea." And she said, "I learned by watching you." And she said, I first got the water and I boiled it, and I put in the tea leaves, and then I strained it, and as I poured it into your cup. But I couldn't find the strainer, so I used a fly swat. And mom said, "What?" And she said, "Oh, don't worry. I didn't use the new one. I used the old one." But the point I'm making is her statement, "I learned by watching you." I learned by watching you. Mom, little eyes are watching. Dad, Father, may you come. We need to realize that we have precious souls that we are influencing by the way we live. And we're to live in such a way that they could walk those steps in following us and not be led astray. There's some general areas or information that I can give with you about being an example. Number one is we've got to be a correct example. It's true that we're going to be an example, but it's bad if we're a bad example. And so obviously it must be a true example. Back over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 that we shared, bodily exercise is profitable, but godliness is profitable unto all things. We need to be a correct example when it comes to what godliness is. What does it mean to have a godly life? What does it mean to live in a godly way before children? Over in Titus chapter 2, just a few pages over to the right, Paul is writing to this young man, and he talks about the older women teaching the younger women, verse 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, mind he was talking about, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet in their thinking, to be chaste, which is pure, and go on. And so there is that responsibility to teach, to be an example, to lead correctly. And so, moms, it is important to be a correct example. Secondly, we must be a consistent example. If we're not consistent, then we come under hypocrisy. We are creating confusion. Children know whether or not we are sincere with our walk with the Lord. They see us up close. They know us on the good days and on the hard days. They see us in those reactions. And there's an importance in our life. None of us are perfect, but there's an importance for us to be consistent in our walk with the Lord, be consistent in the life that we live as an example before them. It will have an everlasting effect on them in one way or the other. Your example must be consistent, not only correct. It's been said that a good mother's love is, in miniature, a form of the Lord's love for us, the love of God. I believe it is true. God, as I was just listening up here, I thought of a mother and what a mother wishes. A mother never abandons the love. A mother wants the most for that child. And God does as well. What an example they are of God's love for us. Virtually, it's important for a mother to be a vital example of a good, godly woman. Secondly, some specific areas. There are some women in Scripture that exemplify to us some of the specific areas to be examples when it comes to a mom. The first one is found in the Proverbs 31 chapter. As Brother Steve read to us there a moment ago, some of those verses, and if you read all of them, you'll see that in this resume, this virtuous woman is impressive. Now, Vicki was quick to point out to me that she had maids and helpers. She didn't give me some maids and helpers when I get some of those things done to you. But at the same time, this woman had an impressive resume. Solomon wrote this. Lamuel is another name for him. And as Solomon wrote, who do you think he had in mind as this virtuous woman? His mom. Who was Solomon's mom? Bathsheba. If you know your history, you know that Bathsheba had a very shaking start, being tied to King David, who also did the messing up, but she rode along with it the whole way. Adultery, murder, cover-up, silence, all of this, and she went right along, and God brought judgment upon them both in the fact, first of all, that they lost the child of their union that was born. It died. But then God, then later, after they repented of their sin and confessed it, God gave them another child, Solomon, that continued. And so we have an example here, not the starting bad. Any of us can do that. But when you find yourself in that regard, whether you are first there and you need to get saved, or whether you've been saved and you've fallen by the wayside and you quit doing what you know that you should, why not follow the example of Bathsheba and David? And they repented of their sin. What does repentance mean? It's a changing of our mind. It's a change of direction. It's saying and looking at the sin that was in our life and saying, I don't want that anymore. I want to be in a walk with the Lord that is consistent and godly. That's the mindset of repentance. And it implies that there is a confession of that sin as well. That's what David and Bathsheba did. And so there is repentance of their sin and a confession of their sin. And God says when we genuinely repent of our sin and genuinely confess it unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's important for us to recognize what God gives us as an example here, first of all, of Bathsheba being that of repentance, turning from the sin, turning to the Lord, confessing that sin, and being forgiven and restored into fellowship. Repentance. The second area of specific illustration is found back over in 1 Kings 17. Excuse me, 1 Kings chapter 17. You remember, you remember Elijah, and God told him to leave where he was and to go, and he came to this woman of Zarephath, and there was a famine in the land, and with this famine it was great, there was not much food to be found. And Elijah saw her, and he says, "Will you go get me some water?" And so she said, "Yeah," and she went to start to get him some water, and he said, "While you're going, would you bake me a little cake of bread and bring it to me with the water?" Well, notice her response in verse 12 of 1 Kings 17. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal, a little bit of flour, in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." In other words, this is the last little bit of flour, a little bit of oil that I'm going to put together and put a little fire on it and fix this cake. We're going to eat this, and that's it. We're going to starve to death. We don't have anything else. We don't have any way to get any more food. That's what she was looking at. But what did Elijah say in verse 13? Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." That's great advice for us these days, especially. "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now she had said, "Duh, weren't you just listening?" But Elijah went on to say, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, it will not run out, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, it won't run out, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth, and there will be a lift of the famine." And so she did what? She went in verse 15 and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days off of what looked like enough for a biscuit, and that was it. Now, what did she do? She believed what? She believed who? "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." She believed God's word when God said, "It shall not fail, but it will continue to supply for you until the day I send rain on this earth." She believed God, and she demonstrated she believed God by going and doing what Elijah had said. Obedience. She believed God, that's faith. And demonstrated by obedience. Faith in God's word. Repentance is an example that we're to have, and faith is an example that we're to have. Third, back over into 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy's mother, I mentioned a while ago, that had taught him the scriptures since he was a child and brought him to the place where he trusted Christ as Savior. When you read about in verse 5, verse 4 says, verse 5, that when I call remembrance the unfeigned, that's genuine, the genuine faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Timothy, you've got genuine faith. But that genuine faith was first in your grandmother and in your mother. My question that we're going to answer, I hope, is how did Paul know that they had genuine faith? He cannot see their heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. How can I know whether or not your faith is genuine? Think about that. Let's look at the answer. Timothy's mother was a Jew. Timothy's father, we read about him in Acts 16:1, he was a Greek, a Gentile. But notice what it says in Acts 16:1. They came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, Timothy, and the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, she was Jew, and believed, but his father was a Greek, was a Gentile. Now it reads to me then saying that she was a Jew which believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but his father was a Gentile, and it indicates that did not believe. And so we have here maybe another rocky start, for a Jew was not to be, first of all, marrying a Gentile. All right, that was the first mistake. It would be kind of like as a believer, if you marry an unbeliever, a person that is not saved, God says you're not to be unequally yoked together with him. Because if you are, there's going to be problems. I didn't say it. God did. And so we need to understand the truth of that and what God says is going to happen and believe it. And young lady, if you think that you'll never get another guy except for this one and he's not saved, but maybe you can change him, read my lips. Can you do that? It's not going to happen. You can't change him. Now, if God were to do that genuinely, well, praise the Lord. But that is not God's direction to go in that area. So she was, first of all, married to this Greek, this Gentile. She believed, now maybe they got married before they got saved. Before she got saved, I don't know. But anyway, it says that she was saved. And that he was not. Here we have, technically or practically more obviously, a single mom. Dad's not involved in this process of teaching. Dad's not involved in the spiritual enrichment of this young man, Timothy. It's all on mom. Mom, there's some of you that may be in the same condition. Whether your husband is in the picture or not, there are some husbands that are just not in the picture, spiritually. They may not be saved. They may not want anything to do with that. There's some saved men that just, for whatever reason, they check out when it comes to spiritual enrichment in the home. That's their failure in that area. Men, step up to the plate. But we have here this woman that was practically a single mom, having to teach this young Timothy. And what she was doing was something that was showing genuine faith. Now, James chapter 2 teaches us that genuine faith must be accompanied by works. You have faith, I have works. You show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Genuine faith will always be followed by the good works. Genuine faith then will have faithfulness as a characteristic of it. And so when we look at this example of Eunice with Timothy, she was a mom of genuine faith. She was a mom that demonstrated faithfulness in her walk with the Lord, her works. So we have repentance. We have faith. We have faithfulness. Are these characteristics for a mom? Mom, your children are looking up to you. May you be looking up to God for the help that He gives. That's what we need. I know my time is gone. Wow. Can I say this real quick? Husbands and children. Husbands, today is a special day to acknowledge and recognize and make over your wife, the mother of your children. Don't miss that. But don't think that you can just check it off today and miss it the rest of the year. We have a responsibility to live with them according to knowledge, 1 Peter 3:7 says. And it goes on to say, give an honor unto the wife. And then it says at the end, that our prayers be not hindered. If we want to have any kind of a personal relationship and fellowship and ministry with the Lord Jesus Christ and for Him, then we need to be honoring our wife. And children, today is a great opportunity to honor your mother. It is the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments with a promise. And that you are to honor your father and mother. Respect. Give the honor due unto them in God's position that they placed you. It's one thing that you don't have a choice over, really. It's who you're born to. But God does. And He has placed you right where He wants you for a reason. So teens, young people, do you give your mother the proper respect and honor that God says she deserves? Not just today. Yesterday, did you? Last week? This past year? What about going forward? We each can look at our lives and evaluate ourselves and say whether or not we have succeeded in doing what God would be pleased with, or if we say, Lord, as I look at myself, there are some things that need to change. So why not today say, I'm ready to make the next step in the changes that God wants to do in my life? What a great day to step forward. The devil would say, just put it off. Don't think about it right now. But God is saying, I'm dealing with your heart. That's what you feel at this moment. Every head bowed, please. Just think about this. It's a great day to honor our mom that God has given you. It's a great day to recognize a wife that God has blessed you with. It's a great day to be reminded of the examples we as dads and moms are and are to be. I hope this message this morning has been an encouragement to you moms and a help, as well as to us dads and children. May God bless you each this Mother's Day. Father, I pray that as we have listened and evaluated where we stand before you in light of what you have touched our heart with, I pray that you would lead us to make the choices that you would say, well done. Help us to take the next step in that growth process that you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.